What's up, guys? I am Caleb Giddings.
And I'm Keith Finch.
And I
Coming to you
am...
live from a shiny location.
Where are you anyway? Your background's blurred.
I'm in my classroom at my LGS, so that's
oh,
where I'm
fun.
at.
I have... So for people who don't follow me on social media, which you should, I have just come back from my first ever Africa hunt, and I'm going to now make that my entire personality. So
He
just
has blessed
like...
the reins.
I mean, it is funny how many like you know it. I'm definite. I can understand why people do make it their entire personality after they go to Africa because it's such an alien experience to you know whatever kind of hunting you've done in the States. It's same, but different,
But
right?
not.
Like, because I was there was one part where I was sitting in a blind over a watering hole. Because I was waiting for a warthog to come in, because you know we had intel that the you know the warthogs like to come into the water at this certain time, and the particular conditions for shooting a warthog on a spot and stock where it would have been incredibly difficult because the grass was 4 feet tall and warthogs are 2 feet tall, so just seeing them was a problem. So I'm sitting there in this blind waiting for this warthog to come in, and I for just a hot second was like, man, this is like sitting in a blind in you know. South Dakota waiting for a pig to come in or a warthog or something like that. And then a fucking giraffe walked up.
Yeah.
And
And you're like, this is not like South Dakota.
any thoughts of this being at all similar to anything that I had done before went straight out the window because they're not 10 yards in front of me was like, I don't know what it is, but you see them, there is something different about seeing it in the wild than seeing it in a zoo. Cause I'm like, cause I've seen giraffes in the zoo. There's actually a photo of me from the 1980s of me riding a giraffe because back in the 80s, when you could do hood rat shit, the Los Angeles Zoo would let you ride the giraffes. Which, can you imagine a zoo doing that today?
It's still one of the wildest things, right? Like, if you on paper, if you sketch it out, like, which is the mythical animal? The unicorn, which is just horse with a horn. And there are plenty of animals that have singular horn
horns.
or double
Yeah.
horn, or this giant, elongated, you know, almost Ilithy, I don't know, like it's just a giraffe. Describe a giraffe, just this immensely tall, long-necked mammal. That's like, oh, well, we put a deer on a stretch rack for a very, very long time and then gave it a cheetah coat.
Right,
which
like,
one's the mythical creature?
yeah, no, and like you can't, giraffes are, it's completely insane that a giraffe exists because you look at it, it's like I can look at like a lot of the other African animals that exist and be like, this makes sense from an evolutionary perspective. Like I can follow the lines on how we
Yep,
got
I
to
can
things
like,
like,
all right, that's where we
yeah.
landed.
I
Okay.
can figure out how we landed on things like kudu, which has, you know, a hump like a camel, kind of weird, but, you know, it's an antlered, you know, friggin' antelope descendant,
Yeah.
right? These make sense. All of these make sense. Even the wildebeest makes sense, which is actually an antelope that looks like a buffalo. But I can figure those
Antelope
out.
maxed out constitution,
Yeah,
and we
it
have the
is
wildebeest.
100%. It's an antelope that maxed out constitution. And weirdly speed because so fast.
Speaking of that, I do love the fact because we were in a chat with some friends the other day and falcons came up, and
Oh
falcons are
yeah.
so funny because falcons are in a different bird tree from most of the other birds of prey, because falcons are maxed out parrots, right? They're maxed out parrots. Whereas like hawks and eagles kind of inhabit their own branch, hawks are, or falcons are just parrots that chose violence
Yes,
and speed. Max out that dexterity.
speedy murder parrots,
Yep.
which is hilarious. So, in case you guys hadn't figured out, on this week's episode, we're going to do a kind of a grab bag. So, talk a little bit about Africa. And I'll talk a little bit about that. And I think the biggest takeaway, I have so many takeaways from that. So many fun little tangents of content and thoughts and stuff that I wanted to share. But the biggest takeaway is Africa very far. Very, very far. So
It's a ways. It is truly a ways.
and it's funny. So on my flight out, I had a direct from Atlanta, which takes 15 hours to get there. And then there was a hurricane during my flight home, and the flight path from Jaburg to Atlanta goes literally right over the Caribbean, and which is where the hurricane was. So they just said, no airplane for you. And instead, I ended up going from Jaburg to Qatar, which I've been saying it wrong this whole time. Like Qatar Airlines
Everyone usually says Qatar.
for Qatar, right? So Qatar Airlines says Qatar like that. And I'm like, okay, well,
Qatar.
I guess you guys probably know how to pronounce it. So I
But you're
flew
from
from,
there.
yeah, I flew from Joburg to Doha, then Doha to Philly, which was 16 hours from Doha to Philly, and then Philly back home to Greenville. And I just want to pause for a moment and do two things customer service related. First, I would like to commend the incredible customer service I received from every single person at Qatar Airlines. I mean, from top to bottom, from the people handling my baggage, dealing with me checking weapons through two countries that don't have like the best thing policies about weapons, top to bottom, 10 out of 10 would fly again. And it was the exact opposite experience that I had got in the fucking Philadelphia airport, where, okay, I know beyond a shadow
Welcome
of a
back
doubt
to America.
that I am not the first person to arrive for in the history of that airport to arrive from Doha with a checked firearm that needs to go through customs. I cannot be the first person that's who's done that. And yet, every single fucking human being that I interacted with in the Philadelphia airport, with one exception, looked at me like I had a lumpy, spiked head growing out of my shoulder when I said, "Hey, I have a firearms case. I was on this international flight. What do you need me to do?" The only guy who didn't look at me like I was completely crazy was the supervisory customs guy that I ended up having to talk to. And I just had a sense from my interaction with this guy that he was like a squared away dude, right? Like a pure uniform was sharp. All his gear looked like it was used, but not abused. You know what I mean? Shaved head, sleeve tats. And when I actually opened my case to show it to him, he goes, "Is that a Raging Hunter and 44 mag?" Like all of the context clues were like,
All the context clues says, finally, someone who speaks English.
yeah. But it was
Good
crazy because
Avengers reference there.
I everyone in that airport just seemed confused by me asking them to perform the basic function of their job. And I'm like, I need to get my gun, and then I need to go to the counter. Like, this should be an easy process. How it should go is you go to that intermediate baggage claim in customs, right? You get your gun, you get your other checked bag, you go and you recheck them, and then it's just like checking in for a domestic flight. You say, "Hey, I da 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 da. I need
Got
to declare a
firearms,
firearm."
da 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 da
And it
da,
should be
away.
easy. I get down to the domestic check-in desk and I say, "Hey, I just came in from Doha. I gotta check in. I gotta recheck my bags for my domestic flight." And this girl goes, "Why?" I'm like, "Because they're in my hands and they need to go under the airplane because this one's 60 pounds and this one had I fucking why?" Anyway.
Why?
Yeah, fine. Let me take everything out of here and I'll just carry this rifle
Because
and
I
this.
had to take them out, go through customs, get it all cleared, and check them in
I
domestically.
mean, just like
It feels
appallingly
like
stupid.
I've never come back from an international flight, had to go through customs outside the military. So I do not know how that goes. But to
It's
me,
so hit and miss.
even if I were to come through with nothing regulated, it still would make sense to me that I am checking out of international, going through customs, and then I am in the domestic line, which would require a recheck. That makes sense to me. That's a logical progression to me. It might
And
not be that way if I don't have anything like a firearm, but it would still make sense to me that, like, hi, you are an international arrival. Here's your customs check. Now, here are the baggage people to check you in domestically.
Yeah, and
That
that
would
is
make
in
sense.
fact how it is in every single airport in the United States that's international, where you'll come in, you'll process through customs, you'll get all of your checked luggage, and then you'll go and you have to recheck it for your connecting flight. And I've done this in Minneapolis, friggin' Newark, Chicago. You know who actually has a remarkable and a genuinely surprisingly good, because like we all know Chicago is a terrible airport and
Yes.
all of that, right? Their customs setup is actually one of the better ones that I've experienced in the United
Well,
States, which I was
they have to
genuinely
be like
surprised
good
by.
at something. They gotta have
No,
one win.
as it turns out, they don't, because for reference, Newark exists and Newark is
Yeah.
not good at anything. So you know, I'll have more coming up later this week, guys, on Africa and stuff like that. I'm gonna do a whole video like reviewing all of the different gear that I had, and not just my guns and stuff like that, but like the boots that I wore because I put a lot of miles on them, a lot of that. But I can say this: if you have the opportunity to do a hunt in Africa, and you know what, the economy is going to collapse anyways. Dave Ramsey's an idiot. Take that money out of your 401k. Max out your credit card. Go to Africa. Do it.
Just go do it.
Yeah, just go do it. It is worth it. Maybe
Millennials
don't
don't get to
max out your.
retire, guys. Millennials don't get to retire. That's not going to be a thing for us.
Maybe don't max out your credit card, but like, you know,
Go ahead and
installment
spend it.
payments. Yeah, spend some money. If you bought
Money's
not,
not real.
here's an actual thing. If you were thinking about buying night vision, which costs, you know, anywhere from $10,000 to $20,000, you could also go to Africa instead and you could kill
And
something.
that would genuinely be a better use of your money. And this
Yeah.
comes from a man who has $14,000 night vision. That
I'm
would
just
have been a
saying.
better spend for my money. Now, I love my LightPlus dual tubes. They're really nice. They're very light because they're the light version that EOTech came out with like 2 years ago. Awesome, awesome little Bino minis. Great $14,000 spent. Africa would have been better.
You know what I do? You know what I wished I'd had when I was in Africa, though? I wished I'd had some night vision and some sort of IR device, because so I drilled one jackal, and I was like, oh, this is like shooting coyotes. Shooting coyotes with night vision is fun, because I really wanted to like set up on the watering hole with the nods and like an IR laser and just see what comes out in the dark in the Kalahari and be like, oh, you're gonna die tonight. All right, so that's it for Africa. Let's talk about dropping guns, because this has been an item in the news lately. Obviously, you guys have seen the SIG lawsuit, and I
3
have,
million. That one's expensive.
yeah. So I have some insider knowledge on that that I can't publicly share, but let's just say that based on the knowledge that I have on that, I think that SIG is absolutely and you guys know I am the biggest hater of SIG in the world, and I'm the biggest, and I am the biggest hater of the P320. But I think in this instance, SIG is right to appeal it, and I think that they should, in a just world, win on appeal. I unfortunately I cannot leave it at anything more than that. But I do not think that that was the right decision by the jury in that case, in any way, stretch, or form. But now let's moving on from dropped guns topic. Let's talk about how a disgraced former USPSA champion is dropping Series 70 guns and acting surprised when they go off.
There's this whole thing called the Series 80 that they did after the Series 70, which was specifically to address the fact that the Series 70's guns aren't drop safe.
So, to give you guys an idea of what happened, and I will name names here. So Ben Steger, who is, well, he's Ben, and
Yeah.
so Ben, in a desperate attempt to stay relevant, just does whatever the hell he wants, right? And he dropped a staccato. He did a drop test, quote unquote, with a staccato,
Meaning he
and of
hasn't
course,
started at OnlyFans yet, to my knowledge, but that
yet.
might be next.
So he did a drop test with a staccato, and the staccato is a Series 70. If you guys here, hang on, I'm going to back up a little bit. There are largely two types of ignition systems on 1911 style pistols. There is Series 70 and there is series 80. There's a third series, the Schwartz mechanism, but those are cursed. So a series 70 pistol has a floating firing pin with no firing pin block. That means that if it is dropped on the muzzle, there is nothing that stops the movement, the forward movement of the firing pin. So all Series 70 1911s, whether they are made by Colt or Staccato or Rock Island, are not inherently drop safe because of the floating firing pin and the lack of a firing pin block. In the 1980s, hence the name, Colt invented the Series 80 1911, which has a firing pin plunger block, just like you would see on a Glock or many other guns, so that if the gun gets dropped muzzle first or is struck in such a way that it would move, that there's inertia on the firing pin, it stops the firing pin from moving.
Guys, when you
Most.
take the slide off of a semi-automatic, a Series 80, a Glock, a 320, any of them, you can see it. It's a button that's in the slide that if you push on, you can then move the striker forward freely.
If you're watching this
Yeah,
on video
it's
and
right
not
there.
listening, you can actually see the Series 80 firing pin plunger in my Taurus PT 1911, which makes this gun drop safe. Now, so Ben is trying to make content, and Staccato owners are notorious. This is actually great because what you pitted was two of the largest emotionally fragile groups of gun owners against each other, Staccato fanboys and Ben's fanboys. And it's like, lots of people have made this thing their personality. And the fact that I saw a thread that was like, Staccato's
Don't
not
worry.
drop safe. How are police departments issuing this? Oh my God. And I'm like, well, it's a Series 70. Of course it's not drop safe. That's like telling me that, it's that you're, I don't.
Guys, this sedan doesn't have rear airbags. How could it be? And you're like, none of these do. There's no,
Right.
there's none of these. There's nowhere in this design that rear airbags were ever a part of
Oh,
this.
a better example. This would be like complaining that a vintage 1970 that a and in the case I'll do it exactly. This would be like complaining that you went out and did a resto mod on a 1970s Mustang and it doesn't have anti-lock brakes. Well, of
Correct.
course it doesn't have anti-lock brakes because anti-lock brakes
They
didn't fucking exist.
weren't there yet.
Yeah, so complaining that
And
staccatos
that,
are.
yeah, or doing a new, a full on two, or another way to think about it is doing on a full on, not just a restoration, but a full on cloned build of a 1970s vehicle, any 1970s vehicle, and saying, oh, well, it doesn't have anti-lock brakes. Well, yeah, you did a one for one build of the 1970s design.
There's a bunch of British companies that did stuff like that, where they would like make like one-to-one clones of like classic British sports cars and stuff like that, and they would build them with things like gearboxes that don't have oh, I forget the technical term for it. It's there's a it's like synchro or something, but there's a bit that when you press the clutch in most manual transmission cars, it syncs it up so that you don't have to rev match. Like in really old manual transmission cars, you had to match revs in the right range to shift into a different gear, right? Once a British company made a car like that, and people were mad that the clutch didn't have a sync thingy on it. And well, of course it doesn't, because they made a friggin'
It's, they
recreation
made
of the
it,
1960s thing.
they made it exactly the way it was,
This is
not
like
with these
being mad.
modern features.
Being upset that a Staccato isn't drop safe is like being mad that your horse doesn't have GPS. It's just, it's, of course it's not. And like, so this leads to the question, why would people not universally go with a Series 80 if the gun's safer? Well, Keith, I think, would you like to speak on why 1911 fans are the way they are?
We can do that, but like it's an old hash topic, like the fact that 70s aren't drop safe.
Yeah.
Like
So
it's just known.
when the Series 80 comes, and this also, you know what, we'll talk about this next, because this is a perfect example of how nothing is new under the sun, right? When the Series 80 came out, They didn't have internet forums, so instead there were letters to Guns and Ammo to talk about how it was an abomination and it was terrible and
How
all of
dare
these things.
you take old Samuel Colt's beautiful
John Moses Browning, is it?
1911. No, they would say Samuel Colt because
Oh,
it was a
fair
Colt
enough.
1911.
Yeah, no, that's a good
They would
point.
get that wrong on purpose, which I did.
Oh,
How
the
dare
biggest
you take
complaint.
Samuel Colt's 1911 and be like John Moses Browning?
The biggest
How
complaint that
dare
people
you?
have about the Series 80 is that it makes the trigger worse, right? And I'm like, just
It's still a straight pull trigger mechanism
yeah.
that's very, very nice.
I'm dry firing my 1911 right now, and I'm like, all right, so it's got like almost no take. So this is a completely, hang on. Keith, we're gonna do science on the show today. All right,
Science. Now,
this is a
in technical aspect, they can go down the path that, oh yes, putting in the firing pin block makes the trigger worse because you're adding a mechanism, which means you need to add friction, springs, tension, etc. You're making the mechanism more complicated, which generally puts more pressure on it to overcome those mechanisms. In technicality, you can say yes, but in practicality, is it a good trigger to fire? Like, does it work? And does it
So,
feel good?
is it true that the
Yes.
trigger, I guess, is worse than a Series 70? I'm going to say I don't even know because I've shot a lot of Series 70 1911s and I've shot a lot of Series 80 1911s. And I couldn't honestly, like, if you put a gun to my head and said, hey, which one of these is a Series
Was that a
70 and which
70
one
or
is
an
a, I'd
80
be
without
like,
looking at
frig,
it?
I don't know. All right, hang on. So this has a 3 point, you know what? I'll do it right. I'll do three measurements and take the average. Well, that can't be right. No, we'll keep it going. We'll keep it going. So I didn't have the grip safety pressed in all the way. Okay, here we go. And okay, so three measurements, average. The average of the three trigger pull measurements on this gun is 3 pounds, 8.2 ounces. So 3.5 pounds. If you can't manage a 3.5 pound trigger, that is a skill issue. That's the skilliest skill issue that ever was a skill issue.
That is, in fact, a problem for you, not the gun.
Yeah. So
Because you're going to see far more variance. Like if you just pick 70 and 80, all your other components have to be exactly the same, have to be tuned exactly the same for you to be able to differentiate that. And there's probably going to be more variance in your ammunition, right?
Man, I really like how I set this 1911 up. This is heavy. RR, the Taurus 1911 with the full rail on it is a tank of a gun. Like you pick this thing up and you go, heavy. Heavy is
Oh,
good.
heavy good, heavy reliable.
Now I did change, speaking of 1911s, I did change one thing on this gun from the stock configuration. The stock configuration has a full length guide rod, and I removed that because full length guide rods are a sin and they make John Moses Browning cry. And I just don't like them. I think that gun, I
I don't
think
either. I don't like the full length of the guide. Like I never swapped one on any of the 1911s I had that had them just because I didn't feel the urge to that much, but I never liked them compared to the standard.
also, I think they make the gun harder to take apart.
They do. They legitimately make the gun a pain in the ass to take apart. So
So, Keith, did I miss any other fun news stories while I was in Africa with basically zero cell service?
oh, let's see. That one was the big one. We had two geriatrics have an old man fight. They didn't really talk about guns, though. They talked about golf, so I guess they did
I will say this, and like
that.
the only clip I saw of it, and I'm not a fan of either of these two guys. But the one where Trump said, "I have no idea what you just said, and I don't think you do either," I was like, "He's got it."
That was a excellent, like, look, the memes out of that whole thing have been savage and I appreciate them. However, this is
How did we
elder
end up
abuse and
in,
we
yeah.
need to stop.
However, how did we end up in this situation again,
Yeah.
guys?
As
Like,
far
can't
as
we?
firearms news, though, no, the SIG lawsuit was the big one. And yeah, that's what we've got, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, let's talk about the dumbest thing I've seen today then.
Yes. What dumb
So,
things have you seen today?
well, so as you guys know, I am something of a revolver aficionado. I know that may come as a shock to literally no
Weird.
one, but
Weird.
let's talk about, so whenever any YouTuber basically posts a really any like big audience YouTuber posts a stupid video about revolvers, my inbox gets flooded with it. And I posted about it a little bit on my Facebook page earlier today, and this is going to come out, you know, later in the week. So if you've read my Facebook post, sorry,
I
you
get
haven't.
a similar flood of questions and DMs when it comes to bullpups, and yeah, it
Oh yeah,
happens.
that makes sense. Yeah. So the Yankee
Oh my
Marshal
God,
who
guys, I'm the IWI guy. I shoot with the and teach with the academy. I know how to run bullpups. Other people who have large audiences often don't know how to run the bullpups. And like, look, they're not necessarily wrong for what they know, but the thing is, they don't know, and that just happens.
So, the Yankee Marshal, and if you guys don't know who the Yankee Marshal is, consider yourselves blessed, above all other of God's children. But the Yankee Marshal posted a video a couple of days back, and like I was in Africa, so I didn't see these DMs. And then I get back and I'm like, Jesus Christ, why do I have fucking
What
so I normally
happened?
like normally in the course of of a day, I'll get like four DMs from people I don't know. Okay. I had 60 message requests with links to this video across various platforms. And it's the title of the video is Revolvers Are Terrible for Appendix Carry or something like that, right? Which is but
It's a double action gun.
and then I went and watched it. I watched all 8 minutes of it because I do this, I have this policy. And that's if enough people ask me for my opinion on a dumbass piece of content that someone else has created, I will go and consume the content so I can have an informed opinion. Because every now and then in those dumbass pieces of content, there's like a nugget in there. Or a lot of times what happens is you can sort of figure out why they arrived at this incorrect opinion, right? You can be like, oh, well, they, you know, have a skill issue or something like
There,
that. And
there's a
there's,
there's almost always a piece of information they are missing. They were not
yeah.
taught the proper way, or they're missing this key piece of information of what this button or what this thing does that would all of a sudden link it, connect it, and all of a sudden, light bulb moment, right?
Yeah. So in this case, I think that the part that's missing for the Yankee Marshal that caused him to sort of arrive at this conclusion is the cerebral cortex, which controls higher level processes in the human brain. Like, I think he's just missing a chunk of his brain. The video's terrible. It does not make at like at no point does it make a point that is coherent or like, because here's the thing, you could one of his arguments for why revolvers are worse for concealed carry or worse for appendix carry and also inside the waistband carry, which he mentions, than semi-autos is that they're thicker. Because the
My brother in
cylinder
Christ.
on a revolver is thicker than the slide on a semi-automatic pistol. And like, that is a, so here's the thing. Is that a technically true statement? Sure. The cylinder on my
Sure,
856
technically.
is in fact thicker than my GX4. However, once you add the mass of a holster to this equation, that thickness is completely irrelevant. It is, it's not just,
You could
it's,
argue that because of how most inside the waistband and especially appendix holsters work, the revolver is actually much better suited because of the thinner grip profile, especially of small frame revolvers, and how that thinner profile gets pressed against the body compared to a double stack 365 like I wear all the time, and usually in a Wilson grip, which is even thicker. That's harder to press in and conceal against the body than my 856 is. My 856 disappears. It is one of the most
yeah.
comfortable guns I can carry.
The rest of the video is just like herder boomer comments about how, well, you know, if you can put a 4-inch revolver down your pants, I guess you're not working with much down there. Herdy dirty der. And I'm like,
Oh,
it's
yay. Dick
yeah.
jokes.
I know. I thought that was like normally that's the, you know, the only people still doing that in 2024 are like the worst sort of Twitter left-wing anti-gun retards. But hey, that's the first time I've said
Sure.
retard in like 40 minutes.
Hey,
And I
we
didn't
don't
say it about the
monetize
Yankee.
these guys. It's fine.
Yeah, and I didn't say it about the Yankee Marshall, who is actually like he might actually be like if he took a test, like because there you back when we did this sort of thing to people, there was like an IQ level that at, once you were below that, you were mentally retarded, and I think that he would fall under that. And I don't say mentally
Can
retarded
we just,
anymore,
because we're
obviously.
saying the word, we might as well. I just have to appreciate the fact, like, look, my brother has a mental handicap. He is severely autistic. That runs in my family. My brother is not retarded.
No.
So I must point out the fact that I love that we have gone from retard being mentally deficient, mentally handicapped, to putting it in its proper place where it's like, no, bro, you're just that fucking stupid. That stupid doesn't cover
Yeah. And so just
it.
as like so to put a bow on that particular one, guys, revolvers are great for appendix carry, and if you don't believe me, even though like there are very few fields in this world that I will claim to be an actual legitimate expert in, right? Where like I'm like I have real world experience and training on this exact I have sufficient real world experience and training on this exact copy topic to call myself an expert. One of them is like double action revolvers sort of in general as a category, and one of them is carrying them as an EDC because I have carried a double action revolver basically nearly every day for the past 5 years. And most of it's been appendix. Do I carry behind the hip too? Yeah, of course. I can
Yeah.
mix it up. But
And
I just
unlike a lot of people who've been like, well, I've shoved this Smith and Wesson, two Gen 2 series, this Model 915 down my pants for 18 years. Does that make me an expert? It's like, no, buddy, because your round count. End of story.
Man, yeah. So, all right. So that's that. We covered the dumbest thing I've seen all day. It's nice to be back. I feel like my desk chair is falling apart. I'm a little ADHD right now because, like I said, I just got back yesterday. And Africa far, so far, so far.
Africa, very, very, very far.
I'll say this. One
Where
of
am I
the
692?
Yeah, you're. I'm
Such
wait. Listen, I government. Not wait. No, not government. I can't blame the government for that one.
the government.
I, you
If
know
you
what? I
mail
will blame the government.
it USPS, I could believe that. Because, man, sometimes it's like, oh, two day overnight air, but like, because of asterisk of government 14 days.
Don't you love it when you know what? All right, I have one last rant. No, I don't have a rant. Never mind, I'll save this for a different platform.
Yeah,
But because
or a
I
different
have a thought on
episode.
that. So I will say this though. One of the things that I always agreed with in principle, but despite having engaged in activities that technically that so like before this trip to Africa, I had hunted, right? I have engaged in activities that were that, technically were called hunting, and I found them perfectly enjoyable in most cases. And I agreed in principle with one of the things that Jeff Cooper said in the pre-GWAT era. Jeff Cooper said that if you were someone who is serious about self-defense and personal protection, that you should hunt because there is value in putting your sights on a living thing and making it not a living thing anymore. And you couldn't do that outside you can't really do that. And now that we're outside of the GWAT, opportunities to do that are limited. And I always agreed with that in principle, but it had never reflected into my personal hunting experiences. And I think a lot of that was because I was never in a hunting experience that was particularly adrenalizing, right? Like sitting in a blind shooting pigs with under night vision and a great big pig scramble. A lot of the hunting that I had done was te some of it was very technically challenging and involved complex marksmanship, and it's all been a lot of fun, but none of it was particularly adrenalizing. Some of the stuff that I did in Africa that wasn't even on dangerous game, mind you. But, the kudu hunt that I did culminated in a 150 meter sprint and then basically just trying to crack rounds into this thing before it could get away from us again. And that got my blood up. That got my heart pumping. That was adrenalizing. I'm like, now this is what Jeff Cooper was fucking talking about. I get it now. So go hunt something that gets your adrenaline up. And if sitting in a tree stand and shooting a deer gets your adrenaline up, perfect. You have solved that one with the lowest level of effort possible. But maybe you're like me and you need to go to Africa and do that to get your blood up. I don't know, but I understand.
My first deer, way back at like 16 years old, definitely got my blood pumping. Definitely did. But like since then, yeah, the Africa hunt would definitely be the one to do it, or one where I'm actually both stalking or then have to move quickly to get into a position. That would be a lot. If you're not into hunting, guys, then the closest thing you can probably do is a performance action shooting sport of some sort. And I would recommend something like PRS or NRL Hunter, where that shot is really freaking hard.
You know, and it's, and I think, you know, having done like all of the shooting sports except for PRS, but having done all of the shooting sports, I think that there is a difference in between the two because
There is significant difference because
one of them involves
you're
killing
ending an
something.
animal. Yeah,
Yeah.
you are actually killing something in one of these. You are choosing to end an animal's life.
And that's significant. And I, and you know, we talked about this a little bit. I will say too that part of the reason why it took something sort of on the extreme end of hunting to get me adrenalized about hunting is because of the shooting sports experiences that I've had, where I have shot guns under very high levels of external pressure. So I don't necessarily feel that about certain types of hunts, but with
Yeah,
the,
because
especially with,
whitetailing at free stand is very, very low.
yeah,
Very low.
but especially with like the kudu, I had an emotional investment not just in shooting a kudu, but in shooting this specific kudu, and I've been chasing him for like 3 days and a bunch of other stuff. And I'll tell that story probably on a later episode, or you know, I'll write it down or something like that. But we've been going for almost 50 minutes, so I think
Long
that's a,
episode this
I
time,
know, it's
guys.
pretty good. This is what happens when neither of us take our medication and we just talk about stuff.
We don't have ADHD. I didn't just repeat last episode's topic of changing out seven optics, I
Oh
promise.
my God, I did the exact same thing. So I just came back from Africa. I had shot. So in Africa, before I went, I had zeroed my Raging Hunter and my Expedition, both with Aimpoint Acros. I shot my Zebra with, by the way, I shot a Zebra with an Acro at 130 yards and drilled it.
You can do. Yeah, it's very possible, guys.
So I did that, and then I loaned the Acro to one of the writers that was there, and he's got an he's an older gentleman. He's got an eye issue, so the red dot doesn't work great with him. So I swapped it out for my Leupold 3x18, I think, and zeroed
Yeah,
that. So it
15,
was,
3, 18, one of those. Yep.
yeah, whichever one. So I zeroed that, it was good to go. It's the same optic I shot my Axis deer with. Good to go, great. Zeroed it. And I ended up shooting the kudu with that rifle because I really wanted to get him, and he refused to. And he refused to let me get within. The closest I got to him was 90 yards, and then the females that he was with would spook and like they'd run off. So I ended up shooting him at 200 yards with the Expedition. Fun shot. That was perfectly zeroed. I could have left the Leupold on there, and everything would have been copacetic. What did I do when I get back? Immediately ripped that and the rail off it, put a new EGW rail on it, put on the primary arms 3x18 that I have with their mill reticle. And then I put the fucking Leupold on my 450 Bushmaster bolt gun because I was like, this thing with on three power and it's got that fire dot reticle, so it's kind of like got a red dot in it. I'm like, this would be really good for like a inside for like 100, 150 yard like Africa gun. So let's set this one up. And now I have my Acro that was on that rifle just sitting around, and it's got to go on something. So I think I'm going to put it on a 22 mag because Acro on a 22 mag, let's go. And why are we like this?
I speaking of primary, we'll shout them out again. The reason I got triggered, I put this in the, I resisted a day. I made it at exactly 24 hours. I got their new second focal plane, PLX-C, which is amazing, by the way. Good job, Primary Arms. That sight is excellent. So second focal plane, mil reticle, a little bit of ranging help in the reticle design, but otherwise clean, super bright dot. And the thing is short and light for an 8AX LPBO. It is short, it is light. They specifically looked at the NX8 from Night Force and went, we can go a little shorter, little lighter. And they did. They did it by going second focal plane. Like, it's kind of cheating, but it's also not, because they made the weight and the size. Excellent sight. And I resisted 24 hours putting it on a gun. I'm like, I don't need to do this right away. And sure enough, I didn't do it right away. I waited a day.
You
And
waited a day.
so,
Good job. Good
yep.
job.
And so then I put it on a rifle, and then I bumped the sight that was on that rifle to another rifle. And then I bumped the sight that was on that rifle to my X95 SBR, because I have astigmatism and dots sometimes annoy me on long guns. I have a few long guns that are going to stay on dots, but my astigmatism, I like solid state reticles. And I played with the sight that was on my my Tavor SAR, which is a 3X TA50 ACOG. I'd shot that one a lot more the last class I took than I did my SBR. And I'm like, I kind of like this. So that got bumped to the SBR. And then the SBR's dot got bumped to a 12.5 AR-15 SBR. And then that sight got bumped. I don't remember where
Why
that's. I don't
are we
remember what.
like
Oh,
this?
that sight got bumped to my Shorty 8.5 L-Dub. And that sight got bumped to the open, where it's probably going to go on my PTR KFR 32, because that one doesn't have a sight right now and it needs one.
Hey, a
So,
question for you, because
a
you know
lot.
more about this stuff than I do.
Yes.
I want an AR. I want a 20-inch AR with a fixed carry handle, not the detachable carry
Yep.
handle. For to whom should I give my money?
Honestly. Honest to God, I am actually very, very happy with the Harrington and Richardson line that Palmetto has picked up, the H&R line.
I didn't even know that was a thing. Harrington and Richardson. I didn't know they're Harrington. Oh, wait, we're gonna go to Harrington and Richardson Retro. What is this? What is this?
I am
Oh
very happy with those
no.
guns.
Why did you do this to
I
me,
am
Keith?
legitimately very, very happy with those guns.
Oh my God, they have an
They have A2 and
M16A1.
A1 style.
They have an A1 with a triangular. Oh my
They
God,
even
they have
have
it.
them, Caleb. They even have them with 1 in 12 barrels. If you really want to lean into the 55 and the proper twist rate, they have those.
Keith, they have a 10.5 9 mil complete upper with
Yep.
a fixed carry handle. Oh
Yep.
Jesus.
Yep.
I need to go lay down, guys. I don't feel good. Oh my God. Oh, and I
I
could just,
guess
oh my God, I could just buy the whole ass
I just
retro.
bought, because the reason I found this out is I hadn't really looked into, like, I knew they were launching H&R type stuff and they had a bunch in there that it was like really cool, but I hadn't looked at it in depth. The reason I did was yesterday I got reminded that I have another precision rifle course coming up, and because I'm a madman, I shot the precision rifle course with an M16, right? I have an M16A4 from FN that I floated the barrel on, put a two stage in, and I was just like, let's see what an FN M16A4 can do. Not like a super accurized Douglas barrel or anything like that, just M16A4, the rack grade military collector's edition that they've had out for years. And I'm like, what can it do? And so I went out there with some Frontier ammo, which was a Hornady brand that I think they've shut down. That ammo shoots like garbage, by the way, guys. If you see Frontier out there with a boat tail hollow point, it's all the reject bullets that have like improper cones and everything like that. Like, they're you will get a flyer every 4 or 5 rounds, and that flyer could go 6, 7 inches off per 100 yards. It's pretty bad.
Keith, they have
It's
a
awful.
BLEM Commando 10-inch pistol.
Yes. Yes, they do. And it's got their new little brace, which is kind of a blade style brace. And
I
it's
love
straight
I
up, it's the
oh,
command, it's the commando stock.
braces are back on the menu, boys.
Yes. Braces are back on the menu, boys.
Let's
Got
go
thrown out.
Supreme Court.
So
I can't believe
yeah,
we didn't,
shoot
because that
precision rifle with
happened.
the M16 and a Leopold, and I was on Palmetto State. Their Sierra Match King match ammo, guys, don't sleep on that. Their Sierra Match King loaded match ammo is really good. Like, those are really good loads, and it's only 75 cents a round. So yeah, don't sleep on that, guys, if you don't like
All right,
paying
guys.
a buck
Well,
for
I gotta go because I gotta go spend a
it.
bunch of money on Harrington and Richardson AR-15s, because these are, oh God, oh, an M16A2 with a hammer forged FN barrel. Oh, my chest, my
Benefits
wallet.
of living in South Carolina right next to the FN factory. You're like, hey, FN, you got barrels? And they're like, of course we have
Also,
barrels.
Palmetto State is in South Palmetto State. Oh, I bet you I could just ha I bet you I could just order these online and pick them up at the PSA that's down the street from me.
I bet you can.
All right, guys. Well, we are not sponsored by Palmetto State Armory or
Gonna go
anything like
shopping.
that. But okay, one last thing. There's a meme page, and the guy who runs it, like every time I see it, like the guy has some genuinely funny memes. I'm not gonna shout him out. I'm not gonna shout out his page, but you can probably figure out who it is. The guy who runs it has the biggest hate boner I have ever seen for Palmetto State Armory, and I don't get it. And here's why I don't get it. Are all of PSA's products like, super elite top tier? No. But are they making shit that people want at a price that most people can afford? Yeah.
I'll tell you what, guys, if you grab, because they always have it, they always have like the mid-length, phosphate barreled FDE furniture and like clamshell M4 style FDE furniture in every mailer. They have an upper and they have a complete lower. If you get those, you spend like less than $400. You might
Oh, dude,
break 400 with shipping and everything like that. If
I'm
you go through, if you know, like you and I do, as our backgrounds have given us this knowledge, if you go through and just inspect that gun, do an armorer's inspection on that gun and fix any faults, which you like stake the castle nut, check the gas key, make sure that's properly staked, stake that if it isn't. And then I would change out the buffer to a properly weighted H1. That gun will run.
Yeah.
That gun will run pretty well.
Oh, dude, they've got 9 mil commando pistols.
Yes, they
Shut up.
do.
All right. Well,
You're
I
gonna
gotta
buy two
go.
guns. You're gonna buy two guns today, Caleb.
As a
Don't.
great man once said, I'll be in my bunk.